بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وإلهكم إله واحد. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: إنما الأعمال بالنية، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. We have been discussing about the proofs of Sharia, and we are on now lesson 36, and that is part 5 of Qiyas. Basically, alhamdulillah, there are four sources of Sharia, that is Quran, the Sunnah, Ijma, and Qiyas. And these four sources we have been discussing at length. Qiyas, Shari analogy, is proven from the Quran Kareem and is a subsidiary source to be utilized when we have no solution, no direct solution found in Quran and Sunnah or Ijma. Then Qiyas is utilized. In the Quran Kareem, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned three categories, three types of people: the Ulul Albab, the Ulul Absar, the Ahle Zikr. Now the Ulul Albab, the intelligent ones, and the second, Ulul Absar, those who have foresight, and Ahle Zikr, those who have knowledge, and those who remember Allah Jalla Majdahu. Now the Fuqaha, the Juro consultants, are those who discover the intricacies and the complexities of Deen. Allah Ta'ala has ordered them, and reflect, make tabtabur. Oh, you have eyes, foresight. Yeah, we have to understand, as explained, and I repeat, that the juro consultants, they surface, they discover, they extract, they make apparent the intricacies and complexities of Deen. They don't invent Deen. They do not make halal, haram, haram, halal. They, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not make the Deen. They discover the intricacies and complexities of Deen. Allama Jalaluddin Suyuti Ramtullah Ali states in his tafsir that the word itbar, take lesson, which appears in the above ayat, means qiyas. Hafiz Ibn Hajar Askalani Ramtullah Ali and Hafiz Aini Ramtullah Ali state in their commentaries of Bukhari that an qiyas analogy is idbar, to reflect and to contemplate And Idbar is commanded by Allah Ta'ala. Hence Qiyas is also commanded. And the proof for this is the ayat, and reflect, O you have foresight. Secondly, Allah Ta'ala has ordered Muslims to obey the Ulul Amr. يا أيها الذين آمنوا واتقوا الله واتقوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. And it is said regarding the Ulul Amr that they are the ones who make istimbat. Now what is istimbat? Istimbat means that just as a person is required to dig deep into the earth in order to extract the water which lies deep down in the earth, which lies deep down in the earth, which was placed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, the mujtahid has to dig. The mujtahid, he has to dig deep into the Quran al-Kareem and Sunnah in order to extract the inner meanings, intricacies, and complexities. He has to bring these to the fore. Therefore, Qiyas is a muzhir. It brings things to light and into perspective. It is not musbit, something new which is unshakable. Therefore, ijtihad is that duty executed by the mujtahid when he makes istimbat of the laws contained in the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah. Hence, also we deduce from this, for a ghair mujtahid, one who is not a mujtahid, to refer to and follow a mujtahid is what is called taqlid. Yeah, I must again reiterate, the fuqaha, the mujtahid, they dig deep into the Quran and Sunnah for the inner meanings and intricacies and complexities. They are people making things muzhir, apparent. They bring to light and bring into perspective what is there. They don't invent something new. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Tawbah, Ayat 122, and it is not proper for the believers to go out and fight jihad altogether. Of every troop of them, a party only should go forth, and that those who are left behind may get instructions in Islamic deen and learn fiqh, learn jurisprudence. And that they may warn their people when they return to them, so that they may be aware of evil. Allama Sharakshi writes in the foreword of Mabsut, surely Allah Ta'ala has made, preferred the fuqaha as the warners. Simply speaking, what this ayat is saying, that when war is declared, that everybody should not go out, but a group should remain behind, a group to learn deen, to study deen, a group to understand deen, so that when that group that went out for war, because when they are in war, they do not have so much time now to learn and study deen diligently. So that group that was left behind, their responsibility, duty was, that group that has been left behind must study deen and learn it, so that they can educate, they can warn that group which has gone out in war. When that group returns, the group that stayed behind must warn them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Ta'ala has made from amongst his servants those who have heard my speech and preserved it. then they convey to those who are not present to listen to me. Hence, most of the bearers of fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence, do not have the ability to understand and comprehend the intricacies of fiqh. And many of the bearers of fiqh convey to those who have a better understanding. This is in Dharimi. And also in Ibn Majah, Mustadrak. Imam Hakim says that this hadith is famous, is mashur and well accepted. Alama Suyuti says this hadith is mutawatir. From this hadith, what we learn? We learn that the actual aim and object of hadith is fiqh. The actual aim of hadith is jurisprudence. Jurisprudence is not merely knowing the words and meaning of hadith. In fact, its meaning is to unearth, to open up and discover the inner import thereof. Fiqhi masail, that means masla, masail, diniyat, are to extract from the ahadith thousands of masail from the fuqaha sahaba are recorded in Musannif Abdul Razak, Musannif Ibn Shayba. And we follow those masail, and no proofs are written there also, and this following is called taqlid. Fourthly, it is reported from Hazrat Amir bin As and Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they heard Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, if a hakim, learned person, makes a ruling by making ijtihad and he is correct in his result, he will receive double reward. And if he makes ijtihad and his result is incorrect, he will receive one reward. Bukhari, Muslim, Nisai, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud. This hadith has passed. The ulama have stated, the Muslims have reached a consensus that this hadith refers to a knowledgeable Muslim ruler who is a capable person. If the result of his ijtihad is correct, then he will receive double reward. One for his ijtihad and another for being correct. If his result is incorrect, then he will receive a reward for his ijtihad. However, the ulama say that regarding the person who is unlettered in Islamic jurisprudence, it is haram for him to give a ruling on a matter. We must understand this. Imam Nawawi Rahmatullah is saying that if a person is not a learned person and he gives rulings, it is haram for him to do that. If he gives a ruling, he will receive, first of all, no reward. In fact, he will be a sinner. His ruling will not be executed regardless of whether it conforms to the truth or not. Because his being correct is coincidental and not aligned to the principles of Islamic knowledge. We'll say that his answer is correct by chance, by coincidence, and it will not be accepted. Why? Because he hasn't formulated it via the correct procedure and protocol and principles. Like, for example, if someone is sick and a non-doctor makes a correct analysis, we are not going to follow the analysis and diagnosis of a non-doctor, because that person may be on target. But because that person is not a doctor, not an expert, not a master in the field, then we would not accept, even his knowledge is correct, his result is correct, his decision and diagnosis is correct, we are not going to accept it. Why? Because he is not qualified to make that ruling. He will be a sinner with regard to all his rulings, regardless of whether they are correct or incorrect. All of them, his rulings are rejected. It appears in a hadith regarding the three types of judges. One who will be in Jannah and two in Jahannam. That judge who recognizes the truth and rules in favor of it will be in Jannah. That judge who recognizes the truth and rules in contrary to it will be in Jahannam. That judge who rules in ignorance without making attempt to verify the truth will be in Jahannam. Fifthly, it is reported from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Bukhari that a person once came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complained that his wife had given birth to a child that was dark in complexion. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him whether he had camels that were from the same stock but of different color. He replied the affirmative. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew a parallel between the two and concluded that just as camels born of the same parents can differ in color, so too can human beings. This is proving that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is exercising ijtihad. He is looking at the asal and he is looking at the causative factor and he is drawing a parallel and coming up with a ruling for the far'a, the secondary ruling. He is coming up with a hukum for the secondary, subsidiary, supportive ruling. So there is absolutely nothing wrong in utilizing qiyas, but here, beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is using it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Abu Dawud, surely I give rulings, masails over you with my reasoning analogy in all such matters where wahi, divine revelation, has not been revealed to me. So that means Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clearly saying that he is exercising ijtihad. He is making ijtihad. And by making ijtihad, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is coming to some conclusion which is permissible. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the entire life for us is a norm, a pattern to be followed. 7. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Jamul Bayan al-Hilm used to say, indeed, if a matter is presented to Abu Bakr, which is not found in the Kitab of Allah, neither in the Sunnah, then I make ijtihad. Then he said, that is my ruling, opinion. If it turns out to be correct, then it is from Allah, Ta'ala. And if it is incorrect, then it comes from me, and I seek Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness from it. Here again, qiyas is clearly proven. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala is saying that when a matter is presented to him and its matter cannot be resolved via the Kitab Allah nor from the Sunnah, then he makes ijtihad. And then he said, this is my ruling, my opinion. And if it is correct, then it is from Allah Ta'ala. And if it is incorrect, it comes from me. And I seek Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness from it. Proving again clearly that the qiyas is a shari proof. If Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala could not find a clear ruling on a matter in Quran or Sunnah, then he would consult with the senior and prominent Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, and he would rule on the consensus reached, darimi. Now, here Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is using a method which the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat has adopted, not these Ghair Mukallis and Ahl Hadith, etc. Said, if a ruling was not in the Quran, not in the Sunnah, he called the senior Sahaba and asked them, what is their view, what is their opinion, and then rule accordingly. Number 9. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu advised Qazi Shurai that if any matter presents itself, then firstly he should refer to Quran for the solution. If no solution is found, then he must refer to the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If no solution is found, then he must draw a solution from the consensus of opinion, if there is such a ruling upon which there was consensus. If there was no prior consensus on that matter, then he should make ijtihad. This has passed previously, but here it is more in detail than what Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has stated to Qazi Shurai, the chief justice, that if a matter comes, look at the Quran. This is exactly the same system Hanafi scholars are used, but they have been branded that they are Ashab al-Rai, that they are people of opinion, and they are Ahl al-Rai, that they are people of opinion. The people who have no knowledge in fiqh, jurisprudence, make these ludicrous statements. What Hazrat Umar is showing him, a method, and that very same method we are utilizing, that look in the Quran first. No solution found in Quran, look in Sunnah. No solution found in the Quran and Sunnah, then look at the consensus of opinion, that is ijma. And if there is no prior consensus on the matter, make it ijtihad. Exactly the same system utilized by the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. Number 10. Whenever Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala would give a ruling, he would say, this is the view of Umar. If it is correct, then it is from Allah Ta'ala. And if it is incorrect, then it comes from Umar. Mizanul Shirani. Now we can see clearly from this that how Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is following the system word for word laid down by his predecessor Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That is why there are hadith saying from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follow Abu Bakr Umar after my demise. And see the method that he is using, exactly the method adopted by the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat. Number 11. When Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the Mufti of Makkatul Mukarramah, then his pattern was such, whenever he gave a ruling, then he firstly referred to the Quran, then to the Sunnah, then to the ruling of Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar. If he found no proof in any of the above, then he would give his own view, his own ruling on the matter. Dharami, Sunnat al-Bayhaqi, Jami ul-Bayan al-Ilm. See the system adopted by the Mufti of Makkatul Mukarramah. Who? None other than Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas. Because the Mufti of Kufa was Abdullah bin Masud. And here the Mufti of Makkah is following a system that first he look in Quran al-Karim. And if nothing is found in Quran, then he look at the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, if nothing is found in Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he look at the rulings of Hazrat Abu Bakr. Nothing found in the ruling of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then he is going to look at the ruling of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nothing is found there, no proof is found there, no solution is found there, then he is going to look and make his own ruling. Obviously his ruling is going to come from the principles laid down in the Quran, from the principles laid down in the Sunnah, in the Hadith, from the principles laid down by Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from the principles laid down by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is going to formulate his opinion. And he's going to make ijtihad. And by so doing so, he's not going to be contravening any Sharia law. Number 12, Hazrat Abu Darda, Hazrat Abu Huraira, Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'b, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, also used to give fatwa, rulings, from their own ijtihad, when the previous avenues were exhausted, Jamul Bayan. Remember, one point, that all the Sahaba should not make ijtihad. All the Sahaba were not, in inverted commas, muftis. And when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, then these Sahabas were not muftis, should follow the Sahaba who were muftis. Then amongst the Sahaba, there were those who used to give a lot of rulings. And then came those who gave not so many. And then came those who gave few. Sometimes, inshallah, later I will mention those who used to give quite a bit of rulings, and those who should give less, and those who used to give even less than that. But understand that men are not of the same intelligence, and men are not of the same piety and righteousness. Similarly, Sahaba Ikram, all are Jannatis, all are pious and righteous, but the level of piety amongst them, just like their level of knowledge amongst them, differed and varied. So some of them gave rulings more than others, and some gave even more than others. If there is a book of mine, Taqleed Made Easy, it's on my website, alislam.co.za. If you go there, you will find the names and the listings of who used to, amongst the Sahaba, first of all, give rulings, and who used to give more than others, and who used to give less than others. All that has been detailed academically there, proving that they were giving rulings when the solution was not direct from the Quran or Sunnah, or it was not from Abu Bakr or Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They should formulate their laws. Now, alhamdulillah, so far we are proving, and we'll continue in lesson 37, that how Sahaba Ikram functioned and what was their methodology. That very same methodology the illustrious Imams of Fiqh used. And proving that Qiyas is a Shari proof. All this is done to refute these ignoramuses who cry and scream and shout that, see, these people are not following the Quran and Hadith, they are making their own opinion. Whereas we are not formulating our own opinion, we are following a highly scientific, sophisticated system. The Quran first, the Sunnah, Hadith next, then Ijma, and all the various categories of Quran, and the various levels of Sunnah al-Hadith, and the various levels and degrees of Ijma. Then when no solution is found there, then Qiyas is made. The impression given that immediately when a law has to be made, the Hanafis just go and make Qiyas. This is completely erroneous. May Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to understand deen, practice deen, and comprehend it. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.